Hello, Hive Tribe. On season one of our podcast, we made you aware that we were testing the waters to find our feet. Season two is here, and we can assure you that we have found our groove, and as such, we are giving you nothing but the best. On this podcast, we bring you juicy discussion on science, technology, entrepreneurship, and other business development topics. In case you missed out on the season one of the Hive podcast, please make it a point to listen, as you can't afford to miss out on the lessons in those discussions. To be part of the Hive podcast community, follow us on our social media platforms, that's at Kumasi Hive on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Stay close and look alive, team.
So we want to find out, what are startups if someone is not from a tech or hub-related background? The person wants to know, what is a startup? How would you define startups?
Startups are entrepreneurs. The reason why they are called startups is because they've not ideally gone through the first 3 or 5 years of their business to be a business itself. Because standards show that within the first 3 to 5 years of a business is still a startup. Until you cross that range, you're a full-fledged business. So we, as a hub, as I mentioned earlier, that Kumasi Hive, we are a tech hub. We are positioned as a hardware incubator where we train a number of people in emerging technologies and entrepreneurship and business development, so that they can come up with ideas to start up businesses that can solve real-time problems. So for instance, probably a listener somewhere in the house has an idea to solve a problem with IoT or with 3D printing or something, but does not necessarily have the skill sets to do that. Kumasi Hive, we put ourselves in a position where such a person can just come in and learn, and then creates that like concept with which they can solve that problem. And then we help them start a business, right? So within that phase, that person is classified as a startup because the person is moving from an ideation stage through incubation to actually establishing themselves as a business. And usually it takes more than 3 years to do that for some people. Others even go beyond. But if you have your MVP and you move beyond 5 years, you're making sales, you're selling products, you have a team that you're working with, you're established, you're registered, and you've had that for more than 5 years, you move from a startup to a business. So if you're within the phase of trying to establish yourself as a business and learning new things as to how your business is going to improve, within the first 3 to 5 years, you are still considered as a startup. So, yeah.
In the process of defining startups, you mentioned ideation, you mentioned incubation, then startup and business. So that it's a process from one point to another, from ideation stage, you go into incubation, then you become a startup, then in the long run, become a business. Or what is ideation? What is incubation?
Yeah, I think you actually answered the question for me. It is a process. So an ideation stage is mainly you putting your idea on paper and saying that, you know what, this is what I want to do. The process of coming up with the idea is called ideation stage, right? So we have a number of ideas. I want to build a business. I want to build a skyscraper. I want to travel to Dubai. All these are ideas, yeah? But the moment where you have all these ideas and choose one of them and say, okay, I'm going to go with this because this is what makes business sense. We take you from that ideation stage to what we call incubation. And I've come to realize that a lot of people have a lot of ideas to start up businesses. I want to start this, I want to start that. Those are ideas, right? But the only way we can incubate those ideas is when we sift those ideas and see that, you know what, this is something that can make business sense. A lot of entrepreneurs are there that are so in love with their ideas. If they have an idea, they think it's going to sell. But when you go through the incubation stage, you realize that, you know what, I actually had to give a second thought about this. And that's what incubation does to you. The incubation is the more like a term from the animal kingdom, right? The hen. When the hen lays eggs, there's a period where the hen sits on the egg. And according to my science, it's called incubation. Over a period of time. I don't know how long, forgetting how long, but over a period of time.
21 days.
Exactly, 21 days before the eggs begin to hatch. Right, so it's the same concept with which you do business. So once you have the idea, yes, you've conceived the idea, you've given birth to an idea. You also need to ensure that your idea is in the right environment to make business sense and to see the light of day as a business. And that's why you go through the incubation stage. So in the incubation stage, you have resources that are available to you to ensure that this idea that you have, you can actually build a product or build a service out of it. So there are people that are giving to you. There's money, there's networking opportunities, there are online learning platforms, there's a whole lot of things that the hub presents to you to ensure that your business actually sees the light of day. So that's why we call that incubation. And then from that, you move to, after incubation, usually within the incubation phase, we have what we hope that you get what we call the MVP, your minimum viable product, something that you can take to the market for people to say, okay, I want to use your service, I want to use your product, right? So by that, if you get feedback and people want to buy your product and stuff, and you keep growing, the point of scaling up your business then comes in, which is the acceleration stage. So now your business is established, you're making some money, and you want to scale up. So scaling up the business is what we call acceleration. And that also, the hubs also provide that resource to the startup. So generally, that's what it is. That's the process that people usually go through before they are called full-fledged businesses.
Does it mean if I have an idea as a listener, or if I have an idea as your host, I have to come to the hub necessarily before I can build and develop my idea to become a business or startup? How does it work for me?
Yes, if I have an idea? Yes and no. I'd answer that yes and no. Yes and no in the sense that in times past, people have built businesses without having necessarily go to hub. Hubs aren't just there to help your business come or see the light of day, but they're also there to equip you with modern techniques to ensure that your business also survives. Not just starts, but survives. You see, there are a lot of SMEs that are not making waves. There are a lot of businesses that have started in the backyard of people's rooms that has not seen the light of day because they don't have the necessary support that they need. There are a lot of people who want to start business, but they don't know who to go to, where to go to, because the idea of, if I share my business idea with this person will turn the business idea into something else and make money off of it from either than myself. All these issues with starting up businesses is why hubs are formed. In our case, for instance, we're not just a hub. We are also a training institute, right? And we just don't want to build businesses, but build long-lasting businesses that can compete on the global market. So if you are you have an idea that you think your idea can meet a global standard, you don't have to sit at home and say, I want to do this by myself. It will take you twice as much resources and stress and time to build on your own than when you build with a hub behind you, because the hub is positioned to have all that resource and all that knowledge and ability to ensure that your business grows even at a faster rate. You see, a lot of Ghanaian businesses don't have financial knowledge, right? They don't know how to keep their books. They don't know what a business model canvas even looks like, and they're just selling, right? You find that so in 10 years, the business cannot grow, it's stagnant, or they just fade out of the system. But hubs are positioned to help you or the startup or the business to have all these legal documents or all these processes and whatever it is in place to ensure that you are not just a startup, but actually a business, and a business that someone can invest in. Hubs also provide opportunities for investment. Where when you're looking for, I mean, one of the big challenges for startups in Ghana or businesses in Ghana is funding and investment opportunities. You hardly could find investments on your own when you're in the house. I mean, it's very difficult. But the hubs are connected and are positioned in a place where they can give you access to investment and funding to ensure that you do business and do it the right way.
All right, one more thing before we leave this topic. If I have an idea and I come to help, let's say I walk into Kumasi Hive and I come to meet you as the managing associate and I share my idea with you, how can you help me? How do you take me through the process of growing my idea from the incubation through the... How do you help me as a startup or as someone who has come with an idea? How do you help me out?
Yeah, another good question. There's no straitjacket to doing anything. I mean, in as much as I can tell you that there's a laid down procedure to do that, I think in this case, usually, and based on my experience, is quite relative sometimes, because each idea depends or demands a particular service or a particular service from you or expertise from you. So, I mean, for instance, if you have an idea, but the baseline is that just walk in here, share your idea with us, you're willing to allow your idea to turn into a business, we enroll into our program. Usually there's a training program that goes on to actually validate whatever idea that you think you have. Because like I said, most entrepreneurs or most people are in love with their ideas until they have a second opinion. Then they realize that, okay, my idea is not as good as I thought it was, right? So you just walk in here with the idea. Obviously, there's a team that's going to see you, visit you, talk to you, interact with you, take you through your training to see which other technology can help your business scale up or enable that business to actually move at a faster pace. And then that is done. Then there's the incubation period, which I mentioned, that once your idea has been validated as an idea for a business, you then go into an incubation stage. Then the incubation stage is initially explained. We talk to you, help you, coach you, guide you, mentor you. And then your business has an MVP, then goes to the market. So it's just working with an idea. You can even work in without an idea. That's the beauty of Kumasi High. You can just work in without an idea. Just take any of our training programs. And by that, you can even come up with an idea to start a business. And we are not just there to also start up businesses. We're also there to also improve the employability skills of people. So you can get easily access to employment. So probably there's a technology somewhere that a company needs. In mobile app development, in web development, in 3D printing, in IoT, in blockchain, in CNC milling, or anything of the sort that someone needs to ensure that their business will grow. And we have people who come in and say, you know what, I just want to learn this and go and help this business. So we have that as part of what we do as well, not just necessarily starting up businesses, but also helping people to also gain employability skills to get jobs tomorrow.
So now back to leadership. Do you think that we need leadership in our communities? And if we do, or if we don't, how does that impact our communities?
I mean, I'll take this on two accounts. Everything rises and falls on leadership, one man said. And it's so true, so profound. Let me give you an example. To those of us who are a bit biblical, I'm a Christian. So you find that in the Bible, during the Tower of Babel, prior to God changing their languages according to scripture, or their languages being changed. The Bible says that nothing could stop them based on the imagination that they had, right? You could see that there was leadership, there was direction. So they knew what they could do, right? In the event where the languages were changed, communication was lost. Who then becomes your leader? Do you understand exactly what the person is communicating to you? And then the work halted, right? You find the biggest, strongest economies in the world, they have strong leadership, right? And that is why their economies are strong like that. So as a community, even as a person, you should have leadership in your life, right? Until you learn to follow, you can never learn to lead, because you learn to lead by learning how to follow. Do you understand? So I think leadership is so key. As a person, not to even talk of a business yet, but as a person, you need leadership in your life, right? It's something that you cannot do away with. Without leadership, the Bible says that the people would perish, because it said that without a vision, the people would perish. And who carries the vision? It's obviously the leader, right? It starts from home. From the home, there's a leader. Without a leader, there's a problem somewhere. So leadership is the need with which communities are built on, or with the net with which communities come together, because there has to be a common goal, a common focus with which someone has to drive, right? Or a group of people have to drive to see that common goal or that common purpose see the light of day. So leadership is very important. When it comes to business and leadership, I mean, you can't devalue what leadership brings. I must say you dare not, right? Because imagine you have a business and someone has an idea. Another person has another idea. Another person has another idea. And there's no one to bring those ideas together. It's okay, this is what we are doing. There's no vision. I mean, there's going to be total chaos, total mayhem, right? The business is not going to go anywhere, right? So there has to be an alignment of thought, and only a leader can do that. So you need leadership.
Would you like to share some lessons that you've gained from your life as a leader?
Yeah, I have quite a number of lessons. I have a particular quote that I got from a movie. Interestingly enough, I actually get most of my quotes from movies. The Great Debaters. There's a Washington directed by Oprah Winfrey. There was one thing that one of the characters, Dr. James Farmer, pointed out in the movie that was so profound. So, so profound. He said that you do what you have to do now in order for you to do what you want to do tomorrow. It tells you about discipline, right? And discipline and leadership is something that goes hand in hand. If you're not disciplined, you cannot be a leader, right? Sometimes there are things you need to do now to ensure that you can do something tomorrow. Most of us are quite, forgive my language, quite lazy, in the sense that once we are given tasks to do, we have issues with the task all of a sudden. not knowing whether we can do something about it tomorrow. I take lessons in everything I see and whatever, in everything I learn, right? So when that statement also confronted me, that because there are things that you have to do. For instance, a child has to learn before can pass the exams. You can't pass your exams without learning. But the learning process is quite difficult, yeah? But you find that you have to do that. You have to discipline yourself as a person to do that before you can pass your exam. And if you pass your exams, you're already tagged as a leader in your class because you are the best at what you're doing, right? So assuming you didn't discipline yourself to do what you were supposed to do and you failed, you become part of the people. Nobody identifies you as a leader, right? The leaders are people who do extraordinary things, right? So the discipline in doing what you're supposed to do is what sets you apart. One other thing that, another movie as well, The Darkest Hour, that's by Winston Churchill. This is about the Second World War and where Great Britain was under siege from the Nazi rule. Winston, with his war cabinet, he had to actually make a very tough decision because he didn't want to surrender and the cabinet are saying, surrender, right? He was disciplined enough to stand his ground and say that, you know what, we are not surrendering. And till date, he's recognized as one of the most famous leaders of his time because of how he led his people through the times of war. Do you understand? So you can't devalue what leadership brings. These are lessons that I have learned for myself to know. You can't please everyone too. Had the Winston pleased his war cabinet, trust me, we'll be talking about him the way we're talking about him now. Mm-hmm. Do you understand?
Last question before we wrap up on this session of the podcast. I want to know, what advice would you give to upcoming leaders? What advice would you give to people who would endeavor to be leaders or who find themselves in leadership roles and are struggling there?
Again, another quote. Another two quotes or three, if I want to put it that way. This one, I think, is a movie you all know, Three Idiots. At the end of the movie, the name was Fung Su Wangdu, if I remember correctly. Mentioned something. He said, pursue excellence and success will chase you pants down. That's something I live by. As a leader, what makes you an outstanding leader is the excellence with which you do things. So pursue excellence. It's so, so, so important. If you find yourself in a leadership position and you don't know enough about what it is, learn. Nobody died from learning. Learn how to do it. Keep doing it. Keep learning. Keep talking about it. You'd realize that over time, you'd become exactly what you're learning. I have something that I say that, you see, it starts from how you see yourself and what you say about yourself. Whatever you say, you see. Whatever you see, you think about. Whatever you think about, you feel. Whatever you feel, you do. What you do over time becomes an attitude or a character, right? So it all starts from the speaking. For instance, if I just say something that, have you seen a woman in a red jacket? Your mind automatically goes to someone wearing a red jacket. Meanwhile, there's no red jackets in this room, right? Mm-hmm. So assuming you keep telling yourself that you're a good leader from time to time, you're talking positive things into yourself as a leader. You think about it. The moment you think about it, your thought process, it becomes what you feel. And your feelings drive what you do. And what you do then determines how you are or what you are, right? So it's very important to tell yourself what you think you should be based on who you are and the leadership, the kind of leader you want to be. And that's the excellency with which you want to do things, right? It starts from the learning process. And that is so, so, so key. But then also don't be a leader at the expense of the misery of others. It doesn't make you a good leader. A good leader brings people together and bring them at par with himself. You don't grow so high and leave those who are behind you and say, okay, I'm a good leader, I'm a great leader. No, a leader brings people up, right? It's not an easy journey, but it grows people up. Humility is key. You can't do without humility. I always say this, and this is something that I learned the hard way. This is my own quote. I've mentioned other people's quotes, but this is my own quote. That the lower you bend, the higher you jump. If you want to jump with someone and the person is standing and the person jumps, the person cannot go as high as you who bends. The bending process is not easy, right? That's a leader. Sometimes you have to bend. People will spit on your face. People say things that are not nice. It's all bending. You have to be humble to take all that in. But you see, it builds you up, your integrity, you as a person. And the moment you jump, I mean, you become who you're supposed to be. Everybody will appreciate exactly who you are and what you have done for them. So it's so, 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 so important. So, so, so important. The last thing I want to say is that, you see, the person you want to see begins with you. probably want to raise someone to become a mighty leader. It starts from you. Any change you want to see in this world begins with you. If you change yourself, you can change the world. So those are the few things that I feel like I should bring to your attention, and hope it helps you become a good leader tomorrow.
Some of the key points or some of the key things I'd like to take from this, myself personally, I've learned that if you don't know something, you have to do it. You have to learn it. If you come into a position where you don't know what it is about, you have to learn how to do it. Over time, you would benefit from those things that you're learning from. And to be a leader shouldn't be based on others' feeling of misery. It's not because you put someone down that makes you a great leader. Thank you, Maurice, for your time. And thank you for all the salient lessons that you've shared with us. We are very grateful, and I'm sure that our Hive tribe also would find great benefits from the lessons that you've shared with us.
Thank you, too, for having me, and I hope it blesses you.
If any of our listeners want to reach out to you for more of your tips and to gain more from your knowledge, how does someone reach you?
Oh, I'm on social media just like anyone else. Only that I don't put things that are not myself on social media. I like to interact with people and show exactly what I stand for on social media. So you can reach out to me on social media with the same handles almost everywhere. Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E. Kashinko, that's C-A-S-C-H-I-N-C-O, on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and on Instagram. But I'm most active on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn. Those are the three platforms that I usually interact with. And if you want to see me, always come to Kumasi Hive, you find me here. So Kumasi Hive is at Kent and Kono, second tent behind Mispa Vine School. You find a very wonderful building with wonderful people in it. Just trip in there and see us.
All right. Thank you so much for your time once again.
Thank you.